Well, I thought I'd start off with an email that someone sent me last week. They're a Christian. They're not from this lunchtime service. They said that it was absolutely fine for me to quote them here. And this is what they wrote to me. They said this. I am a high performer, but feel that I am drifting along aimlessly. Now, I'm not a total altruist, but I don't want to sacrifice my character and hurt the people around me for a successful career. It's not so much the frustration, but the feeling of abandonment, despondence, that I am wasting my life in this waiting. I know that moving from one job to another is not necessarily a solution. And then the person goes on in their email to say that they have recently received a job offer, and they continue by writing this. They said to me, I should be thrilled to be made an offer, but I can't tell you this is really what I want. It's just unfortunate that the opportunity does not quite coincide with my personal goal at this point in my life. I am tired of drifting around and stumbling into things. Now, we may not express it quite like that, but I guess that many of us here are also tired of drifting around and stumbling into things. I guess that many of us here will be feeling that we are at a crossroads and we're wanting clear direction. Just like this person in the email, we're wanting clear direction on which way to go. Maybe it is your job. Should you keep going with your job or should you move on? Maybe it's in a relationship. Should I marry him or should I dump him? Maybe it's in your finances. Should I put them in savings or should I build an extension on the house? For some of us, maybe that crossroads is a particularly spiritual one. And maybe it's in your investigation of the Christian faith. Should I accept it or reject it? And maybe it's whether to keep going with Christ at all or actually just slip away from Christ. Just relegate him down your list of priorities. So it might be a micro, individual level crossroads. But there are plenty of macro crossroads too, aren't there? I mean, Brown or Cameron? Which way to go to avoid ecological catastrophe? Which way to go to avoid geopolitical catastrophe in the Middle East? Which way to go with all the rows in the Anglican Church? But all of us, we are all, in one way or another, we are at a crossroads time. And it was just the same for the people of God back in Jeremiah's time around 600 BC. They were at a crossroads. In fact, with the threat of a Babylonian invasion looming, there was one main crossroads for them. There was one main crossroads with two ways to go. Two ways to go. Were they going to trust in themselves, or were they going to trust in the Lord? And into this crossroads situation, God spoke to the people of Judah through the prophet Jeremiah. Just look, if you would, at chapter 6, verse 16, the first verse of our first reading that Toby read for us. It's on page 763, bottom of page 763, chapter 6 and verse 16. This is Jeremiah speaking, and he's saying what the Lord says into the situation. Chapter 6, verse 16, page 763. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So stand at the crossroads and look. In other words, don't sort of rush around madly in a flap, but examine. Look at the options. And then ask. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. Find out that way that is good in God's eyes. And then walk in it. To do it. Trust God. Don't run away from him. Don't do things independent of him. And then what's the result? It says there, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. Just listen to what Jeremiah writes a little bit later in the book, chapter 17. Don't turn there, I'll stick it up on the screen. But as I read it, just look, if you would, at the contrast here in chapter 17, verses 5 to 8. The contrast between people who trust in themselves and people who trust in the Lord. This is what it says. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. So that's the consequence for the person who trusts in themselves. But then the Lord continues and he says, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. It's a strong, it's a vivid contrast, isn't it? Trust in yourself, no rest for your soul. Trust in the Lord, rest for your soul. It was a simple choice for the people of Judah. There was one main crossroads and there were two ways to go. And yet, there were very, very few people in Judah choosing to trust in the Lord. Just have a look down again at that verse, chapter 6, verse 16. I didn't read out the last line of the verse. But just look at the last line. It says there, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls, but you said, we will not walk in it. Outright rejection of God. The people of Judah, who looked so very religious, actually they were trusting in themselves. They were just walking away from God. And so, as the following verses allude to, judgment was coming. Now that's the situation. One main crossroads, two ways to go, and then in the book of Jeremiah, really, there are three main players. There's the prophet, Jeremiah himself. There's the people of Judah who are trusting in themselves. And then, of course, there's God himself, the Lord. Three main players. And in our three talks in this three-week series, we're going to take each one of those in turn. And so today we're going to look at things from the perspective of Jeremiah himself, from the perspective of Jeremiah the prophet, and see what we can learn for us today. And there are four lessons that we can learn from Jeremiah. And this is the first one. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Just look at once more, if you would, at chapter 6, verse 16. Just look at it again. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Out of all the people in Judah, Jeremiah was one of the few people in the land who actually was walking in that good way, who actually was trusting in the Lord. And we, like Jeremiah, we need to do the same. When Jesus came to earth, he actually picked up this verse in Jeremiah in one of his most well-known statements. I'm sure many of you here know it. This is what Jesus said. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I wonder if you heard recently about Tattoo the Basset Hound. Tattoo didn't intend to go for an evening run, but when his owner shut the dog's lead in the car door and drove off, with Tattoo still outside of the car, Tattoo didn't have any choice but to run. Police officer Terry Filbert said he noticed a passing car with something dragging behind it, and he commented that the poor Basset Hound was, I quote, picking them up and putting them down as fast as he could. Terry Filbert chased the car to a stop and Tattoo was rescued, you'll be glad to hear, but not before Tattoo had reached a top speed of 25 miles per hour, falling down and rolling over several times in the process. Now, so many of us, aren't we? We're like living our lives like Tattoo. We're picking them up and putting them down as fast as we can, rolling around and just feeling dragged through life. And when it's like that for us, we can so easily forget that our souls find rest in Jesus. Yes, we may have stressful times at work. Yes, we will face difficult decisions, difficult crossroads decisions in life, both in work and outside of work. Yet sometimes we forget that the first place to turn with our burdens of stress, the first place to turn is to Jesus. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest." Yes, as Christians, we still continue to muck up. We still continue to sin. Yet sometimes we forget that the first place to turn with our burdens of sin, the first place to turn is to Jesus. Jesus says, "Come to me, and you will find rest for your souls." As we first put our trust in the Lord when we become a Christian, and then as we continue our lives trusting in the Lord as Christians, the search for rest stops with Jesus. We need look nowhere else. The second thing that we learn from Jeremiah is to cry to the Lord, to cry to the Lord, to the Lord who is our comforter in times of sorrow. I wonder if you could just turn to the first verse of our second reading, chapter 8, just on a couple of pages, chapter 8, verse 18. So we're now on page 766, page 766, down at the bottom left, and chapter 8 and verse 18. I found this verse incredibly striking. Here's the prophet Jeremiah, just trying to sort of put yourself in his shoes. He is trusting in the Lord, while most people around him are rejecting God. They're just trusting in themselves. I mean, in essence, it is pretty similar to how I guess it is for many of you in your workplaces. You are probably in the minority in your workplace as someone trusting in the Lord. And that's how it was for Jeremiah, in the minority, trusting in the Lord. And Jeremiah, he feels like he's been hitting his head against a brick wall as he tells people about God, and they just keep on rejecting, rejecting, rejecting. And so he cries to the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 18. Look what he cries. He says, "Oh, my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me." It's been a tough time for Jeremiah. And for each of us, I guess particularly actually, if we have our own crossroads of decision at the moment, whatever that decision might be, I guess for many of us, our hearts might be feeling faint, fearful, sorrowful, just like Jeremiah. Well, in these moments, there is nothing better than crying out to God who is our comforter. Bringing whatever that decision is, bringing it to him and asking him for his help and his comfort. And in a sense, that should be our natural reaction. I've certainly seen it in my daughter Daisy. Daisy is now she's now 19 months old. She's going on about 19 years old, but she is only 19 months old, and she is fiercely independent. Her favourite word at the moment is no. So, for example, if I'm sort of walking down the road with her and I put out my hand to hold her hand as we walk along, she'll just shove my hand away and just go, "No, Daddy, no," and sort of march off by herself. And the other day, she'd been asserting her independence rather too much, and so Susanna and I got talking. Susanna's my wife, and I said, "I really think probably we need to send Daisy off on some boot camp or something to try and sort out all her misdemeanors." At which point, a little voice just said below, she looked up and just went, "Misdemeanors," and grinned at us. And yet, there's Daisy, highly independent, full of misdemeanors. Yet still, Daisy, when her heart gets faint, when she does feel fearful or uncertain about what to do in a situation, when she, little Daisy, is at a crossroads and doesn't know what to do, it is then that she will put her arms up and say, "My daddy, my daddy." And I feel very tough and very important at that point, which is very nice. But just like Daisy, our natural reaction in times of fear, in times of decision, in times of uncertainty, our natural reaction should be to cry to "my daddy, my daddy, my Abba Father, my comforter in times of sorrow." That's Jeremiah. Jeremiah is crying out to his comforter in times of sorrow. Are we? So trust in the Lord. Cry to the Lord. Thirdly, love like the Lord. Love like the Lord. I wonder if you noticed the contrasting feelings going on for Jeremiah as he speaks in this second passage here at the end of chapter 8. Just look on, if you would, to verse 21 there of chapter 8. Look at verse 21. Jeremiah, he's crying out to God, and he says this, verse 21. He says, "Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people." They're emotional words, aren't they? Jeremiah loves the people around him. These people who actually, they're rejecting God. They're not trusting in God. Yet Jeremiah, he still loves them and cares for them and cries out to God for them. And yet it almost seems a contradiction, the next verse. Because Jeremiah also, he is appalled by the people around him rejecting God. Just look at the next verse and just look at the contrast. Verse 2. Jeremiah says, "Oh, that I had in the desert a lodging place for travelers, so that I might leave my people and go away from them, for they are all adulterers, a crowd of unfaithful people." So the previous three verses show us Jeremiah's compassion for those in rebellion against God, and yet this verse, verse 2, shows us Jeremiah's horror at the offense that this rebellion causes God. Jeremiah loves people. He loves people. And yet he hates sin. Just like God himself. Just like God, who is so holy, he cannot even look on us because we are sinful. He is so holy, he can't look on us, and yet because he loves us so much, his son died for you and for me to deal with our sin. That is how the Lord loves. Jeremiah loves just like that. And is that the same for you and I? Do we really love those who are rejecting Jesus? And do you love those colleagues of yours at work who won't have anything to do with Christianity? And do you spend time on them, crying out to God for them in prayer? Spend time on them, caring for them practically at work, showing them the love of Christ? And yet, are you concerned for the honour of God's name? Are you in anguish at people being unfaithful to God, at people committing spiritual adultery? I confess that I rarely am, but I should be. This lunchtime, we're learning from Jeremiah. We're learning to trust in the Lord, cry to the Lord, love like the Lord, and then fourthly, finally, very, very briefly, we are learning to boast about the Lord. I wonder if you could just look across to the end of chapter 9 and verse 23. Verse 23. "This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me." Jeremiah was someone who felt a nobody. Someone who felt in the minority. His first ever words to God, back in chapter 1 of the book, do you know what his first words to God were? He said, "I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child." Jeremiah, often very fearful, very afraid, and yet throughout this book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah frequently is boasting about his Lord. He's doing verse 24. "Let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, says the Lord." As we close, let's pray that we might do the same. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray, please would you forgive us where we are more like the people of Judah than like Jeremiah. Please, Lord, forgive us where
we have been trusting in ourselves rather than trusting in you. Father, we thank you that you are our comforter who we can cry out to. And I pray, Abba Father, I pray that in all of our different situations, in all of our different decisions, in all of our different workplaces, I pray that you would help each one of us to love like you. And I pray that you would help each one of us to boast about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.